It's a great pleasure to introduce our 10-minute speaker, Damien.
I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Damien.
Damien.
Hello, everyone. If I keep doing this thing, I'll have 4 years of sobriety on August 28th. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I've had an experience as the result of taking the steps and continuing to practice them in my life. I have commitments, I have some guys that I work with, and I have regular people that I stay in constant contact with and stay accountable to, and I have a God in my life that I did not come to Alcoholics Anonymous with. And I'm lucky as shit to be able to be here and to be able to have been willing when I got here. The gift. The longer I've been sober, the more and more I've realized what a gift it was that I was willing to do what people were doing around here. The people that are doing this thing, the people that are staying sober, the people that have things that I want, long-term sobriety, being happy, having meaningful relationships with people. I was able to not only be shown by some awesome people here in the program, but I was in enough pain to start doing what people were doing, you know. I'm originally from Virginia. I moved here to get away from Virginia, and after being on federal probation, and, you know, I heard someone recently share that they recommend a geographic if you haven't tried that, so that you can know that that doesn't work as well. Or maybe it will for you. It certainly didn't for me, but I'd never heard someone put that spin on it. You know, they only tell us that it doesn't work, but they encouraged trying it and maybe a drink on the way if you want to become convinced, you know. And I am convinced. Timo, that's I had no idea. That's awesome, man. I'm glad that I was able to be here to see that. I'm convinced for sure. And, you know, I got to San Diego, and I was touring and playing and recording with a band, and I was growing a plant that wasn't as accessible in Virginia and selling that and a part of that whole scene. And, you know, I had this feeling sort of like I have arrived, like I should be all right now, now that I'm, you know, out of the restricting confines of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I'm here in San Diego and living the life like everything should be good. And after moving here, I started to realize really how fucked I was, you know, and how changing these external things didn't really work for me. And you know, I actually see a couple people here tonight that were so fundamental, you know. So the willingness, I think, is so huge, and I don't know how to give that to anybody, you know. It's certainly not my job to trick anybody into thinking that they're an alcoholic or thinking that they need to do this thing. But when I came, I heard people say things like, well, did you drink and use drugs every day? Well, maybe you should go to a meeting every day. And I was like, I drank and did drugs all day, every single day. So what I started doing was going to meetings all day, every single day. And for me, that looked like 3 to 7 meetings every single day for my first 6 months. And this can also show you the amount of responsibility and commitment that I had to society before I came into the rooms. I had, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to have the time to be able to do that and get involved. And, you know, I do believe that meeting makers make meetings. But being exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous that much for me really helped me to start to soak in what we were doing here. And people told me things like, get God or get fucked. And people told me things like, you know, we do the work here and we get a result from that. And, like, you can play grab ass and you can just, like, show up late and do whatever the hell you want, like you've basically done your whole life, and you can get the results of that. Or you can try to do something different, you know. And, again, you know, I thought everybody was brainwashed. Like, certainly the people in AA, certainly the people that believed in organized religion, but, like, if you had a job, like, especially 9-to-5, like, brainwashed. Like, if you went to college, definitely brainwashed, you know, because of your student debt and all that. You know, if you listen to the radio, if you watch television and let, like, the commercials, like, all this shit, brainwashed, part of the system, like, everybody is just, like, sheep that doesn't know what's going on. Like, I'm never going to fall in line like that. And these are my very inspirational, deep thoughts that are going on while I'm, like, drooling and crying in my mom's basement, watching, like, reruns of, you know, Friends, and, like, wondering why I don't have any, you know. And you know, and all these views that I thought that I had that were so, you know, all the delusions that I was telling myself about being this victim and everything's not fair and this and that, all of that You know, that's, you know, God removed that contempt that I had and allowed me to be able to hear something different. And, you know, the being convinced thing is huge. This isn't the first time that I was exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous. I the higher power of the federal government sent me at one point, and I didn't want what you guys had, you know. And I was talking to somebody before the meeting. I always thought that I never heard the message when I came here. It was because, you know, again, I'm the victim of the uncaring people of Alcoholics Anonymous who were not willing to fill me in on what was going on. But I was just at a point before where I was incapable or unwilling to be able to hear what was going on here, you know, because I've gone back east to some of the meetings that I've gone to, that I went to before this stint of sobriety, and I remember some of those guys. Same guys, still inviting weirdos to go have pizza after the meeting, still talking about doing steps and traditions and being a service to God and his children. You know, they're doing the exact same thing that they were doing, you know, 7 years ago when I first, you know, went there to the crappy clubhouse on Route 1, you know, in Northern Virginia. And I don't know why I got this thing. Where I was allowed to get this thing, I should say, you know, and so I've tried throughout my sobriety to give this thing back the best that I can, to be a willing participant in this program. You know, like I said, I still have service commitments and meeting. I represent, you know, our meeting at the district level. I've done that in multiple states. I've had commitments going into different shelters and H&I commitments and all these different things, and, you know, making coffee, shaking hands, doing stuff behind the scenes and, you know, in the spot, like all these things, and just staying involved. And I certainly haven't done it perfect, you know. I definitely can relate to the people that talk about being an egomaniac with whatever it is, where you think you're a piece of shit, but you're better than everybody else. Like, I can totally relate to that, you know? And that was, you know, and I'll touch on this. You know, before I got sober, possibly before I ever took a drink, but certainly while I was still out there doing what I was doing, I had an immense guilt for the way, for engaging in the behavior that I was doing, the pity party, the self-pity, the woe is me, the I'm always drunk and mess everything up and I let everybody down, because I couldn't understand, like, why do I feel this way? I have nothing that has happened in my life that equals I should be feeling and dealing and coping with things this way. You know, I thought that I must have been raped and I just don't know it. You know, there must have been some traumatic thing that's happened that makes me feel this immense, you know, guilt and shame about who I am. And, you know, and coming here and having people read the book to me and explain what alcoholism is, explain the allergy and the, you know, we've got the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body and the, you know, and the spiritual maladies driving the whole bus. Like, these things started to make a lot of sense to me, and I got a lot of relief out of it. I know some people come here and they're doomed to be an alcoholic, and I was, I didn't think it was possible to receive a death threat, you know, a death sentence, but then be happy and be able to embrace the way of living that's allowed me to not be thirsty anymore. You know, I was a multiple community college dropout. I could barely show, you know, the longest job that I had outside of selling drugs was working at a Christmas store where my gay boss allowed me to do drugs there. I couldn't maintain relationships. I couldn't show up for my family. I couldn't do anything except for, like, sit in the bushes and cry and hope someone sees me so that I can say nothing's wrong and keep running, you know? I mean, that's definitely a classic Damien move when I was drinking. And, you know, I'm finishing up my fourth semester back at school. I'm doing 11 credits in the summer session right now. I've gotten all A's and a B every semester since I've been back, which pisses me off. It should be all A's and all of them, right? I get a B and I get upset. I've been in a relationship now for over 3 years. I was able to move and go take care of my mother when she had pancreatic cancer in 2014 and go and be an older brother to my younger son, be a power of attorney for the household. All this legal shit I don't know anything about, right? You know, the people in AA helped and taught me about these things, and I was able to lean on the program and God. You know, I'm back here in San Diego. I always have to say my mother survived it. Like, pancreatic cancer is the killer, but miraculously she's been declared, like, cancer-free. It's just crazy. I I've been gainfully employed. Like, I pay taxes, you know, all my stuff is up to date. I have a beautiful life with people that I'm able to be honest with, that are able to be honest with me. They care more about my well-being than my feelings, and I hate that a lot sometimes. But, you know, these things that I wouldn't have put any worth in before are things that I'm allowed to have now. And I say all those things to just say, like, that is the gravy on top of what the steps offer us. I don't wake up and argue with myself about taking a drink today. That has been removed from me. Like, because I lose that argument every single time. You know, if I didn't need God and the steps and AA to allow me to continue to be sober, I would not be here hanging out with you people. And frankly, I'm quite confused with people who don't want to do AA that continue, like, hanging out here. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't come back, but the book does suggest, like, if you're not convinced, maybe there's some things that you could do to go get convinced. Because those are the people that have gained the most results and have beautiful lives, the people that are convinced. Thank you for letting me be here.